If you've ever felt like you're tired of being tired, this episode is for you. Today, you'll be listening to a conversation with Desi, an exercise psychologist who gives excellent insight into how we can make healthier choices in our busy lives. We also talk about the importance of normalizing mental health needs and resources on where you can get support for yourself. It's also so important that we as women take action to normalize the discussion around both physical and mental health. So, thank you for being here. Hello, and welcome to the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. In this show, a Wander Mom is defined as a woman juggling all the things, but still has the desire to stay ambitious and find adventure in life, no matter what obstacles come her way. You will hear interviews that focus on adventures you can do with your family, along with episodes packed with helpful advice to hopefully make life a little easier. Whether you are looking for a simple getaway to a nearby park or a trip around the world, this podcast is here to help, support, and guide you to where you want to go and who you want to be. I'm your host, Mandy Kramer, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello, and welcome to the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. Today, I have Desi, a new mom with a background in health and wellness. I'm very excited for our conversation around health needs for mothers and not just physical health needs, but also mental health awareness. Desi, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, Mandy.
Yeah. Could you please share a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your background, where you're from, and a little bit about your family?
So as you mentioned, we have a son. He just turned 13 months old. And my husband and I met in Michigan, in Metro Detroit. I'm actually originally from Bulgaria, and I came to the States when I was 5 and a half. My husband and I, we actually had an opportunity to move to Atlanta about 6 years ago. And we were there and absolutely fell in love with the city and met some great friends. And just this summer, recently moved back to Metro Detroit to be closer to family with our son. My background is in exercise physiology, and I really enjoy being in the preventative side of health and wellness, supporting people in their well-being needs and goals.
That's awesome. I think you're going to have a lot of value to give to our listeners today. What inspired you to get into exercise physiology? Is that what you said in the first place?
Yes. Well, I've always had a passion for health and fitness, and it's been a significant impact on my mental health and physical well-being from a young age. And just fitness in general really helps with, you know, our socialization, being able to build and establish friendships and just have a solid foundation for health and physical activity. So it's been something fun for me that's, you know, kind of come into a career.
That's awesome. I can totally relate because I'm pretty sure most of my friends, at least when we were expats, were all formed by running groups. That's how it all started. Or like my soccer team, it was like a core group of Swedish friends when I was over there. So I definitely, that's a great point that those physical activities that you can do as a group to build those relationships in kind of a low key, low stress environment. I highly recommend it. I'm actually looking for a soccer team now. I'm like emailing back and forth with somebody here in Michigan about it. Are you doing any group activities now with your, you know, after being a mom, or is this a lot of pre-mom phase?
That's a lot of the pre-mom phase. And, you know, since moving to Michigan, we moved twice. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners and yourself can definitely relate to moving with an infant and, you know, just the opportunities and challenges to, you know, getting adjusted and kind of building your home. However, you know, I'm looking for opportunities, hopefully like spring, summer, to teach some group fitness classes, or even just in the mommy groups, just to do some fun walks and physical activity in the parks, including our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that too. Some warmer weather. This cold, dark winter is not so fun, but it's nice to have some snow. I'm not going to lie. All right. So when it comes to, you know, how can we make some tangible takeaways for listeners as far as like steps they can take if they've kind of, you know, felt really busy with being a mom and would like to start that journey and focusing more on health and wellness? Can you give some steps or some resources to help the listeners out?
Yes, absolutely. And I have a few tips and resources. I'll just mention the first one because it's essential for life. Really trying to focus on the hydration piece. It just makes a huge impact for mothers and, you know, everyone in regards to our energy level. We want to be able to maintain throughout the day. So one tip, prepping your water bottles at night. So if you're the type that needs to have like physically 5 cups of water, put them throughout the house. Or if you're a working parent, have them packed and ready to go in the morning for you when you're going to work. And also some folks thrive by setting an alarm on their phone. So that's a great opportunity and a reminder throughout the day to hydrate. There's also water bottles on Amazon that will buzz and remind you to drink more water and refill.
Oh, cool.
So that hydration piece, I think, is number one, because I would say sleep, but that's always, you know, a challenge early on for a lot of us. The other tip, eating a variety. So eating the rainbow, a great source that I really have enjoyed, if you all enjoy other podcasts, the Exam Room podcast. So that's the Physicians Committee, and that's a huge science research-based group of physicians, and some dietitians also support this. They talk about the research and evidence behind a whole food plant-based diet, and not everyone may be interested in completely adopting to this. However, it's very easy to buy, you know, fruits, vegetables, have produce on hand and eat, as opposed to cooking and having to prep meat every day. One other tip, actually ties in with your time management podcast about doing things in batches. Mm-hmm. So batch cooking, for example, freezing chili, maybe doing like Mexican bowls. So making like 8 to 10 at a time. So whatever day works for you, just being able to cook like all your meats, veggies, putting like the things you need to heat together in Tupperware containers, and then prepping the other veggies, for example, cabbage, peppers, and salsa in a separate bowl. So you can quickly pop in the microwave and put the cold veggie toppings and be ready to eat.
I'm all about some easy meals.
Yeah. Some other like really easy snacks, and also could be breakfast, like nut energy bites with chocolate chips, maybe peanut butter, almond butter, and oats. That's really energy dense and helps sustain us throughout the day. And especially if you're a mom that's breastfeeding, you need those calories. So that's a really important piece, and oftentimes can be overlooked if you're running around, you know, chasing a baby or at work and maybe don't have that opportunity to step away and find something calorically dense and nutritious for yourself. Another great website is the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, their eatright.org. And there's a special section for women that really helps support for safe foods to eat if you're breastfeeding, as well as if you're pregnant and looking for some healthy options. And that I really enjoy Trader Joe's. They have a lot of frozen meals on the go, and their vegetables oftentimes are already seasoned with olive oil or butter. And all you do is throw it in the pan and heat it up for 5 minutes. And they have this really delicious lasagna, 2 pounds of it for $6. So if you live near Trader Joe's, that's a great option. You don't have to think about just pop in the oven. And then those of you moms out there that are interested in doing baby-led weaning for your child, there's a great resource called Solid Start. So they have an app. And then if you are active on social media, they have their Solid Starts page. And it's great recommendations and ideas from speech language pathologists, dietitians, and pediatricians that look and research children that begin eating whole foods. So this is, if you're trying to take that approach, maybe doing some purees, pouches, but also wanting to introduce your child to real foods, there's a lot of science that they're sharing and some evidence to, you know, talk about how our children are using different muscles to learn how to eat and reduce their risk of choking when we start this baby-led weaning early on.
Can you, for the listeners who have never heard of what baby-led weaning is, can you kind of break that down for them?
Yes, absolutely. So, and I'm not a dietitian or licensed to, you know, share a bunch of details, but the summary is baby-led weaning is us providing different solid foods to our baby and them trying to eat that on their own with our supervision, of course.
Right. Yeah. When we tried with Kenzie, it was kind of a interesting journey because she had a very sensitive gag reflex. So even with the mushy foods, even, you know, going from liquids to like that really soft purees, the amount of funny faces we got from her were excellent. But it did take a long time for us as parents to kind of, relax a bit when it came to eating those foods, because a lot of it, the doctor was saying, is texture-based. They're just trying to understand the texture and all of that is very stimulating. But it's nice that you give an actual, a good resource to look to, because when I was searching, and you said Solid Start, right?
Solid Starts, yeah.
I was looking and there's so much information kind of scattered out there and you don't really know what's reliable or what's a good one. And lots of Facebook groups are very vocal about different strategies. So thank you for sharing an actual recommended resource.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what works for you. What's, you know, what is comfortable for you as a parent.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I'd love to kind of recap those steps you did, but I also have some follow-up questions. So the first thing you said was hydration is super, super important if you're to pick one. And how much water should we be drinking?
Great question. So there's a few different recommendations from like the World Health Organization and CDC.gov. And it depends, if you are a mother that's breastfeeding, you definitely want to hydrate more. If you're not taking a large amount of multivitamins or certain medications that may change the color of your urine, I kind of gauge it based on urine. So you want, if you're hydrated, your urine is going to be kind of like a light straw color. And if it's darker than that, then you know that you're likely dehydrated. And then if it's clear, then you're overhydrated. So you can actually take your weight in pounds and divide it by 2. That's from the World Health Organization. However, it's going to vary and differ depending on, you know, your level of physical activity. So if you are active and doing moderate to high intensity activity, you're going to want to drink more. And again, if you are feeding, that's really important to hydrate.
Okay.
And it can reduce your milk supply if you're not fully hydrated as well.
All right. And then the second thing you said was eating the rainbow. And that just means that your plate should be colorful, or that you're picking different kinds of fruits and vegetables. Or can you Is it just like plant-based, or are you talking more about like breads and meats and veggies, or is it more like eat the rainbow as in fruits and veggies?
Yeah, it's fruits and vegetables, and actually eatright.gov, they have a great resource that shows like different antioxidants and phytonutrients that you get in different colors of fruits and vegetables. And of course, with the eatright.gov, there's the My Pyramid chart, and they have My Plate, and that provides us with a balanced, well-rounded plate, which includes whole grains and those vegetables and fruits, as well as like a protein or oftentimes meat. So when we eat a variety of foods, we're nurturing our bodies with different vitamins and nutrients.
Right. And so I remember doing this with kids, I think. I think they have a really great resource if listeners have older kids, if they search for My Pyramid and they're able to kind of build their plate, or there's some kind of interactive. I'll have to link it to the show notes, but it's kind of a fun way for your own kids to build their own plate and kind of take ownership mm-hmm. and give them some agency over their meals to hold them accountable for what they're eating.
That would be fun to do with children. And eatright.gov also, they do have, and this was a few years back, I haven't looked to see in the specific section, but they had placemats, Eat a Rainbow, which included, you know, the fruits and vegetable options. So they do have some resources on their website.
Perfect. Awesome. And I'll link to the different websites that you've mentioned so far too in the show notes, so listeners aren't scrambling. Okay, so wonderful. We've talked a lot about physical health as far as what you put into your body, and a little bit about physical health and how that can be very transformative in not only your own well-being, but also in building relationships and making friends. So I'd like to kind of shift the conversation to now mental health. And in your opinions, what is the importance of mental health when it comes to, I guess, the overarching wellness of being a mom? What are your thoughts on that?
Mental health and well-being is just significant. If you're not well for yourself, how can you be well for your child and your family?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would say it's the cornerstone of well-being.
Yeah, and if you're not yourself, then you're also not able to make good decisions. At least that's how I have felt, like when I've been mentally drained, or you know, that those beginning few months of being a mom, and you're just trying to get by. And, you know, you make the easy decisions, you don't make the healthiest decisions. So I'd like to kind of talk a little bit more about your journey as a mom in life. And how's that journey been as a new mother for you?
It's been beautiful, messy, and scary at times. Just you're transforming like spontaneously into this new person. You've become a mother, and there's no instruction manual for that. And I think the feeling is, like you had, you know, mentioned the biggest hurdle we have, you know, as mothers kind of have that loss of identity and just like lack of control. And for those that, you know, don't go back to work right away, it's, you know, a different routine and a huge shift in life and what our goals were, and, you know, building and establishing new goals for ourselves. And I think recently, for myself and my son, we live nearby a library. So it's been, fun opportunity for us to go to the library and explore different books and learn things. And I found Grace Not Perfection book. So I just started reading the first few pages of that. So that really kind of shares and supports this woman's journey through motherhood and how we are so hard on ourselves. And it doesn't help us as a mother or our mental well-being when we, you know, have that sense of perfection and having to do things, you know, a certain way and having things perfect and tidy all the time.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. I'll link that resource as well. Thank you. So I totally agree that there is, especially if you're on Instagram or if you're on, you know, social media in general, you're just getting snippets of people's lives and they usually look kind of picture perfect. And that can make you feel like, you know, you're just not normal or it's very easy to put yourself down, or even society just kind of pressuring women into pushing women into these silos of like, well, you can be a mother or you can be a professional, or you can, you know, there's like, you're battling this balance now when you had a life before having a kid and then you have a child and the world kind of shifts. It's no longer about you and it's now about them, or at least that's how it feels like. And I totally agree. That's like kind of what started this podcast. Was I was just all over the place. Like, not just like, I love to travel and I wanted to do something with traveling, but in my mind, I just needed something to guide me in some way. So I was thinking that I would talk with other moms and learn from them. And it's kind of just been a snowball effect of just learning from other people and listening and hearing their stories and realizing everybody is different, but everybody is kind of going through a similar thing. And if you listen carefully, there are some nice takeaways you can get from everybody. I think the major ones have been like what you just said about not being perfect and that the house is going to get messy once in a while, or, you know, it's going to be a struggle to get out and exercise. But if you're down on yourself about it, then it's just going to make things worse. So what can we do to kind of, I guess, put up some barriers against that negativity that can surround us sometimes, whether it's from the inside out or from the outside in? What do you have any, thoughts on how we can kind of either defend or protect ourselves, or ways that we can be proactive to not let those things happen in the first place?
Great question. And I really, I love the podcast you've started and just, you know, starting to build this beautiful community and, you know, share and remind everyone that we are in this together, especially during the time of this pandemic when there's been a lot of social isolation. But with regards to like some resources and positive thinking, those listeners that are involved in social media, one thing that really helped me personally was going through, and this was after becoming a mom. Whoever I was following, I would unfollow some if it was, you know, unrealistic expectations or something that, you know, wasn't relevant to me anymore as a mother. And looking at, you know, that Solid Starts app for baby-led weaning, something that would support me day in and day out. And there's some positive reflection and quote a lot of the different Instagram accounts. So something that I enjoyed on social media that would nourish me and not make me, you know, feel like I need that sense of perfection. And those listeners that have an employee assistance program through their employer or their spouse's employer, I would highly encourage you to utilize the employee assistance program. Oftentimes they provide free counseling sessions. What I've seen from my experience is 4 to 6 counseling sessions with a licensed psychologist for each different challenge that's occurring. So for example, you can reach out to your employee assistance program completely anonymous, and they can find a mental health provider for you to speak to. And many of them are doing things over a confidential streaming service. So you can speak to them in the privacy of your own home, or if you're more comfortable in your schedule permits, physically going to their office to speak to them. And if you have, you know, challenge, it could be just challenges with, you know, the social isolation piece, challenges with, you know, becoming a mother. I faced a lot of challenges in my recovery postpartum. I was just listening to my gut after a few weeks, and my body just wasn't healing the way that I felt it should be. And I went into the doctors finally after talking to three physicians, and they did an ultrasound, and I discovered that I had a retained placenta. So I went in, did surgery, and that retained placenta caused challenges breastfeeding for me. So it's, you know, things like that that we need to be aware of, and just kind of our body and gut when things not right. But going back to resource for mental health, I did come across postpartum.net, and that's an international postpartum group. And mothers from all around the world can submit a form online, and you join a group to kind of talk and share your challenges and struggles becoming an existing or, you know, new time mother. So that's something that I'm pursuing right now.
That's excellent. I love these resources. I would like to do a follow-up question about the employee assist program. How are you qualified for something like that?
That's a great question. So looking at online, if, you know, through your employer, they should have a benefits portal. The best resource if you're don't want to, you know, go navigating and searching through directories online would be to call your human resource office, and your benefits specialist should be able to support any questions that you have about that.
Okay. Yeah. That reminds me of something. One of my mom friends was talking about going to seeing a counselor more frequently, just to, you know, talk to somebody about being a mom and balancing things. And I feel like it's really important that we normalize this in this conversation. And if anyone's thinking that they could use that support, that even just looking at your health insurance, I can imagine that if you look to see if you're not employed, if you're a stay-at-home mom or something like that, I'm sure that there are lots of resources to get either free or very affordable counseling help or mental health support in some way. So I encourage everyone listening, if you feel like this could be of value to you, then just make the extra effort to do a little digging and see what resources are available, because especially after the pandemic and everything that's been going on, the needs for mental health professionals have increased, and accessibility has also increased. So that's really great to see the community responding in that way. So thank you so much for sharing about those.
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any tips or strategies?
Yes, back to the mental health piece, because this is something I've been challenged with. I've always wanted to do counseling. And the big thing is, if not now, when? So now I'm doing it. However, you know, alternative that would still support your mental health would be journaling. Something that you can incorporate in your daily habits when you're brushing your teeth. Maybe even just writing down three things you're grateful for in the morning, so that automatically sets your mind to think about, you know, something positive. What's great today? I mean, the sun's shining. I have a roof under my head. It's warm. I have food. You know, those basic things that bring us back to being grateful and happy with, you know, what we have. And although there's, you know, just in life, we'll always have, you know, family and each other and our children. So I think journaling is a really great way to kind of support our mental health and well-being while also being able to be creative and not physically having to go somewhere. So we can do it for a minute. We can do it for, you know, 5-10 minutes. The more you do it, the more you're going to feel better and it'll support you in your journey.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you. And you made me think also about those positive affirmations. If you like search for any of those quotes, I think there's some free just pictures that you can either print out or quotes that you can write down and kind of stick those around the house. I've heard of people doing that just to kind of be surrounded by positivity and just to have that reminder in front of you, you know, if you're looking around or you're, you know, walking around the house, to just be reminded of those positive things. And I also listened to a podcast and I feel terrible. I can't cite it. It takes 90 seconds to overcome like a feeling, like your initial like fight or flight, or you know, your body's can be very defensive with things that it's not used to, or it's not sure of what to do, or maybe just anger in general. Whatever has been the triggering point for making you feel negative in some way. And it takes about 90 seconds for the body, the brain to like process that. And then you can kind of like move forward. So if you realize that or practice this of like, okay, can I make it through 90 seconds and just do some deep breathing exercises, just take 90 seconds just to stop and not fuel that fire. That can be a super fast, easy way to practice not getting worked up about things where you might, you know, be triggered by either lack of sleep or not eating well enough or not getting enough exercise. It allows you to kind of just take a break. 90 seconds. Like, I feel like I can handle 90 seconds, and just taking a pause and can really help, I think, with your mental health as well, and not going down a spiral that's so easy to go in.
Yes, absolutely. And just, you know, sitting, like you had said, 90 seconds, you can just sit up tall and take a nice big breath in through your nose and exhale out through your mouth, 3 seconds if you can, and focus on your breath while your toddler is having a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
But no, having, you know, that awareness of our feelings is really important, being able to identify it and then being able to act on it. What triggers this? How can I kind of channel positive energy to help me overcome this? Just, you know, keeping that positive mindset, as you mentioned, which kind of reminded me of a nice mindfulness meditation app called Headspace. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
I've heard of it. I was using Calm, but I've also heard great things about Headspace.
So that's there's a paid version, but the free version is great as well. And it could support listeners if they're interested in practicing mindful meditation, because it just takes a few minutes a day and it can make a large impact as well. And it's all guided and supporting wherever you are in the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Do they have a kids section for Headspace?
That's a great question. I haven't opened the app in a few months. I don't remember seeing that. However, they're always updating the app with new features.
Right. I know in Calm, they have a great kids section and great meditation for kids. Well, thank you, Desi, so much for all of your insight. I've learned a lot, and hopefully my listeners have too. And I'd love to kind of sum it up or end the conversation with a fun question, since this is like a travel podcast. Do you have any advice for traveling with your kid, or do you want to share a favorite trip, or you can do both, whatever you like?
This is a fun one. Well, we love traveling. However, since, you know, the pandemic happened almost a few years ago, it's been a little bit of a challenge to get out and travel as much, and having a toddler as well. But when we have traveled, we always incorporate snacks and try to have like story time. I'm usually sitting in the back of the car, but what really helps us is I'll like download music from Spotify, like the Cocomelon playlist or any kids playlists, and have that music in the car. If you don't have unlimited data on your phone, it's to download in Wi-Fi area. But if you do, you know, need a break, your vocal cords are on overdrive singing. We do download Cocomelon on Netflix. Now, the American Pediatric Association doesn't recommend children under the age of 2 to watch, have any screen time, but sometimes it's helpful for our mental health and well-being to just turn it on for a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I know lots of moms doing screen time with kids that are much younger than 2. But I think that that's absolutely right, that you need a brain break too, and a little screen time isn't going to be a huge, I guess this is just my opinion, but I'm not a kid's psychologist or anything, but I agree with you that a little bit is just fine for your own sanity.
Yeah, I think when they're restricted in a car seat, it's definitely challenging to, you know, support them because they like to move around and explore. That's, you know, how they're developing at these ages. But one thing that we found on Amazon that I'm sure a lot of listeners have is like a busy board. Oftentimes there's Montessori busy board with zipping, tying shoes, some fun practical skills they could do. And that's something you can take on the plane. Or those fidget spinners that like suction on your windows. Yeah. That's something fun that can keep them busy for a little while.
That's a great idea.
But really, I'd say really utilizing those rest stops that you are incorporating if you are driving somewhere, kind of making like a little game, like find the trash can, or, you know, how many trees do we see between the car and the restroom? Something like that to kind of get them looking around at their surroundings, engaged while they take that little rest break.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Good advice. And do you have a favorite trip that you've gone on with either with or without your kid? Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I would say with our limited travel, it was fun to take our son JT to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio this summer. Just like seeing him in awe at all the huge roller coasters. And it was a fun adventure. We had our stroller and just kind of pushed him around everywhere. So that was a fun family vacation. And that was really his only vacation besides traveling, of course, from Atlanta to Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I never really thought about Cedar Point for such a young kid, but you're right. They would absolutely love to see everything. And there's a lot of stimulating things to look at and do. So that's good. I might do that this summer with Kenzie. How can people connect with you if they have further questions or just want to kind of get to know you more? Maybe they have some questions about health and wellness that they want to follow up with you. Do you have any way for people to connect?
Yes. The best way would be by email. My email is TRI and health, HEALTHWDESSI @gmail.com.
I will put that in the show notes as well. All right. Thank you so much for your time today, being an awesome guest here on the podcast. I've really enjoyed the conversation, and I'm so glad that we are able to connect and talk about normalizing these health needs for moms.
My pleasure. It's been so much fun. Thank you so much for inviting me, Mandy.
Taking the time to join in on this episode on the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. If you're enjoying this show, then I would love it if you could tell one other person about it. It's super easy to discover no matter what device you have. Just go to www.wandermomdiaries.com. At my website, you'll find the podcast episodes and the blog posts that match up to the episodes you've listened to. All of my links are in the podcast description, so you don't need to worry about memorizing it, but it's best to share this page with a friend you think will enjoy the show because you can listen in on all the episodes right there from your browser. You can even subscribe with your preferred listening app through that page. It would be absolutely amazing if you could share this resource with one other person today. We are all here to help each other, so if you're a fellow Wander Mom who would like to share your story on the podcast, reach out in the DMs on Instagram at Wander Mom Diaries, or you can email me at wandermomdiaries@gmail.com. I would absolutely love to hear your story. Thanks again for tuning in, and don't be afraid to explore away, Wander Moms.